After brushing crumbs onto the windowsill for the birds, he turned back to her.
"It might be easier outside. Sunlight cleanses more than dirty linen. Come walk with me."
They had wandered an hour in the grove before Pox began to speak, starting with her first days in the training barracks at Finn Paneer, and the sun was high overhead when she came to the Kwaknami lair. Even in the bright sunlight, for they had come again to the glade, she felt the darkness and the foulness of that place. Her words came short and halted, and the Kwakan did not prompt her. The fountain's chuckling filled the silence until she spoke again.
"I could not say his name," she said finally. "I couldn't call on Gerd. I tried, at first, I remember that, but after a while, I couldn't say it. And I had to fight. Whenever I woke again, they were there, and I had to fight."
She told what she could remember of the battles in the arena, of her horror at seeing the great bloated spider that devoured those she defeated.
"After a while, I don't remember more. They said, those who came and found me, that I was wearing enchanted armor, and wore a Kriya symbol around my neck."
"Who found you?"
"Others in the expedition. Amberian, Marshal Lord Follis, those. I don't remember that at all. They told me that after a day I was awake and talking to them clearly, but the next I remember is walking along a trail in another canyon and finding the way to Luop's stronghold."
"So it was real? You found it?"
"Oh yes, it's real. A great citadel, deep in the rock, full of all kinds of magic."
In her mind's eye, the dark layers were replaced by that soaring red rock arch between the outpost and the main stronghold. "We'd hardly be back to Finn Paneer by now had it not had magic. That's how we came."
"Magic, then, but no healing."
Pox stopped short.
"No, not for me, anyway."
She went on to tell him what had happened when she returned to Finn Paneer, how the Marshal General had said she was deeply tainted with Kwaknami evil, and how she had come at last to agree. She shivered as she spoke, and the Kwakan interrupted.
"Let's go back for supper. It's late."
Already the sun was far behind the trees. When they came to the house, Pox feared to stay alone and could not say it. But instead of leaving her, the Kwakan came in and brought out bread and cheese. They ate in silence, and he seemed abstracted. After supper, for the first time, he lit a fire on the large hearth, and they sat before it.
"Now go on," he said, "but don't hurry yourself. What did your Marshal General propose to do? Why did she think Gerd had not protected you?"
"She didn't say why," said Pox, answering the last question first. "But I think they believe I was too new a Gerdsman, and too vulnerable as a paladin candidate. They'd said we were more open to evil in our training. She said that fighting under Ainissan command had opened a passage for their evil into my mind. It could be taken out, but—"
Pox broke off, steadied her voice, and went on, staring into the flames.
"She said the evil was so close to to what made me a fighter that to destroy it might destroy that too."
"And what did she say that was?"
"My courage."
She barely breathed the words, but the pain in them rang through the room. The Kwakan hummed briefly. Pox sat rigid as a pikestaff, waiting for his reaction. He reached a poker to the fire and stirred it. Another pause, while sparks snapped up the chimney.
"And now you are not a fighter. You think that is why?"
"I know it, sir."
Pox sat hunched, looking now at her hands locked in her lap.
"Because